sure. I recently heard a story from Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson, and he's talked about a rabbi who met a certain former disgraced president of the United States, and unfortunately there are a few, and he was meeting with this president, and he turned to the president and said, you know, you need to do tshuva, in that word. And the president turned back to him and said, do you mean the teshuva of Rabbi Soloveitchik, or do you mean the teshuva of Rav Kook? And president had been informed regarding repentance and the different approaches, the different modalities of repentance. And the rabbi who asked him this was kind of thrown off by his response, and that led to a longer meeting. So if people will hear about Rabbi Soloveitchik's approach to tshuva later on tonight, I figured maybe we'll touch upon the other approach to tshuva, and that is in the realm of chassidus. We have a concept in halacha of a mitzvah haba ba'aveira. A person does a mitzvah through doing an aveira. And perhaps we could suggest that there is a concept of tshuva haba ba'aveira, tshuva that comes through an aveira. I'll give you perhaps one approach, and then I'll give what I really want to talk about. There's a famous account between Rabbi Saul Salanter and the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim wrote his book on Shmiras HaLashon called Chavetz Chaim, and he went to Rabbi Saul Salanter for a letter of approbation, haskama, for his work. And Rabbi Saul Salanter read through the work, and he said, it's very nice, but I can't give you an haskama. Why? Because the Chavetz Chaim felt the halacha follows Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva, who says that if a person wants to do tshuva for speaking lashon hara, for slandering somebody else as well, you have to go to the person and tell them what you did. Part of the tshuva is confessing your sins to the person that you spoke lashon hara about. And Rabbeinu Yonah says that's the only way a person can do tshuva for lashon hara, if you go to the subject of your lashon hara and tell them what you said about them. So Rabbi Saul Salanter said to the younger Chavetz Chaim, that's crazy. A person's going to do tshuva by stepping on another person? The person had no idea that you spoke lashon hara about them. And you're going to go to him and say, Chaim, I'm so sorry, I just want to let you know that I told everybody you have very messy handwriting. And Chaim's going to say, well, why are you telling that to me now? Why is I have to do tshuva? So now I'm all clean, my scorecard is full, I'm sorry you feel bad, but I got to go. Sorry, bye. So Rabbi Saul Salanter said, it can't happen. It can't be that you're going to do tshuva, clear your slate by making somebody else feel bad. So he said, if you want to do tshuva for lashon hara, there's other ways to do it, but you don't have to tell the person who spoke lashon hara about them. The Chavetz Chaim refused to back down, as the story goes, and he never got a letter from Rabbi Saul Salanter, and the rest is history. That perhaps one could define as, in the eyes of Yisrael Salanter or the Chavetz Chaim, a tshuva haba ba'aveira. You're going to attain tshuva through hurting another Jew in the process of nas dvarim, something like that. But I want to suggest perhaps there's another approach. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in his introduction to Shari Tshuva, Min hatovos asher hitziv Hashem yisparach im baro. One of the great things, the kindnesses that Hashem did with creation is ki heichin lehem adarech la'alos mitoch pachas ma'aseyem v'lonus mipach pishayim. That Hashem gave us a way to leave the garbage and the lowliness of our sins and to raise ourselves up, and that is the process of tshuva. It's not just that Hashem gave us tshuva, but He also sends us reminders throughout the day to do tshuva. They're called hirhurei tshuva. There's a mission in Pirkei Avos, we're not up to it yet, but one day, or one year. So Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi in the sixth parak, b'chol yom b'yom bas kol yotzeis mihar chorev u'mechrezes ve'omeres. Every single day a sound, a bas kol, comes from Har Sinai and says, Oy lehem lebrios me'albonos shel Torah. Woe is to creations who are embarrassing the Torah, who are desecrating the Torah. So the Baal Shem Tov, as recorded in the Degel Machna, Ephraim Parshas Vayikra, and the Toldos Yaakov Yosef in Parshas Vayikra says, what does that mean? There's a bas kol that's announcing people have to stop embarrassing the Torah. If the person is embarrassing the Torah and desecrating the Torah, so then they're probably not on the level to hear a bas kol anyway. And if the person is good enough to hear a bas kol, and they can hear the sound from Har Sinai telling you not to desecrate the Torah, they're probably not desecrating the Torah. So who is this bas kol intended for? The person who desecrates the Torah or doesn't desecrate it? You can't have both. You can't be the person on the level to hear a bas kol and also be the person desecrating the Torah. So the Baal Shem Tov said as follows. The Baal Shem Tov said that the bas kol that every Jew hears are hirhurei tshuva, thoughts, contemplations of repentance of tshuva. And a person who has das, a person who has sensitivity, a person whose intellect and mind is in tune to the right frequency to hear hirhurei tshuva, will immediately recognize this is a baskel telling you, shuvu banim shovim, it's time to turn yourself around. Throughout the day, a person has a spark, an influence, something goes off in their mind saying, ah, I could probably do better. And that's hirhurei tshuva. A person who's in tune will hear that sound. He'll make a cheshbon hanefesh. He'll perform tshuva shlema. And the person will turn their thumbs around, and that's the baskel they hear. The baskel is not a sound for everybody here. The baskel is a frequency that only somebody who is in tune can hear that frequency, as opposed to a person who has no das, whose tool is out of whack and is not working, and they cannot hear the hirhurei tshuva that are being broadcasted from Har Sinai. This actually reminded me, or I was reminded of this Baal Shem Tov, when I saw an article in the New York Times earlier this year. The New York Times ran a feature piece about Green Bank, West Virginia. Has anybody been? Green Bank, West Virginia? Ah, good. So Green Bank, West Virginia is a town that adheres to the strictest ban on technology in the United States. They do without cell phones, Wi-Fi, microwave ovens, any other device that generates electromagnetic signals are not allowed in that city. The ban exists to protect the Green Bank Observatory, which is a cluster of radio telescopes in a mountain valley. Regular telescopes are like super-powered eyes. These telescopes are like super-powered ears. They can hear anything throughout the universe. Forget here. They can hear every sound going on in the cosmos. And they're powerful enough to detect the death throes of a star, but also vulnerable to our very loud electronic world. And even a short-circuiting of an electric toothbrush can ruin the reception of these ears to hear sounds throughout the galaxy. So it's a similar idea. Our neshama is a refined tool to hear hirhurei tshuva and sounds coming from Har Sinai. If our neshama is in tune and there's not too much in the way to block out those sounds, we can pick up amazing experiences and ideas that can influence us in profound ways. But if our neshama and our lives are filled with noise and phones and distractions and things like that, then our neshama cannot be receptive to those sounds that are being broadcast from Har Sinai. Nevertheless, it's a great chesed done by Hashem, says Rabbeinu Yonah, that he gives us tshuva to erase our sins, and he opens the gate, the dofke b'tshuva, to those who knock on the door. In the piyut of Echom Aminim that we recited twice already, and we'll say another time again, we say that Hashem is hasovel, that he's patient, uma'alim ein mesorim, and he turns his gaze away from those who stray, and he doesn't see what they're doing. Instead, he waits patiently for their tshuva. That's the pashup shot of Echol Ma'aminim. And there's a beautiful, I think, even deeper shot from the Rebbe of the Ruptitzer Rebbe, brought in the Zera Kodesh on Rosh Hashanah. And he explains as follows, but it requires a little bit of background. The Pasuk in Hosea Perek Yudalet says the name of the Jewish people, Kol Tisa Avon V'Kach Tov, that we tell Hashem to forgive all of our sins and accept what's good. Look away from the bad stuff and focus on the good stuff. The Yetzer Hara and the Kategor and Shemayim cannot go before Hashem and simply say terrible things about the Jewish people, says the Ruptitzer Rebbe. The Kategor, the prosecuting angel, cannot get up in the heavens and say, they did this wrong and this bad and this terrible and this is horrific and this is the worst thing in the world. Because Hashem's not going to listen. Hashem's going to say, what are you doing to the Jewish people? Get away. I don't want to hear this. So instead, the prosecuting angel has a plan how to prosecute us. The second point is, before we get to that plan, is how can a person ever do an Aveira against the Ratzon Hashem? Everything is created by Hashem. Everything is Hakol Bara L'Chavodo. Right? That's what the Pasuk says. Hakol Bara L'Chavodo. Everything is created for Hashem's glory. So if that's the case, how could I do something wrong that is not for Hashem's glory? If Hakol is Bara L'Chavodo. That's the Pasuk. So he explains that every sin has a spark of Kedusha. Every Aveira has something inside of it that has an aspect of holiness that energizes that Aveira. That spark of Kedusha is tshuva that's embedded within every Aveira. Every sin, every misstep that a person takes is embedded with a spark of tshuva inside of it, all ready to go. The Aveira itself contains the Koach HaTshuva, and that's what energizes the Aveira. The potential of goodness that will come after the Aveira is done. There's an expression, it's not in Chazal, but we find it in early writings, that says, Rishayim Maleim Charatos. The sinners are full of regret. Meaning, the spark of Kedusha inside every sinner is knocking and waiting. Every single time we do an Aveira, Tshuva is knocking, waiting to come out. Every single Aveira has Tshuva waiting to burst out at that moment and to finish the process of Tshuva. And the Koach HaTshuva was created with that Aveira. L'mashal. The Gemara in Bava Basra Tazayin says, how does the Satan work? It says, the Satan is Yored U'misa, V'oled U'margiz. The Satan comes down to this world and gets us to do the wrong thing, and it tricks us and it misleads us, and then immediately it goes up to Shemayim to inflame and to anger Hashem that we did an Aveira. So he's down here, he's up, he's very busy. Up the elevator, down the elevator, up the elevator, down the elevator, all the time. We sin, he goes up, we sin, he goes up, all the time. So the explanation is that when the Satan is down here, we can't do tshuva. But once the Satan goes up to prosecute us, he's not bothering us. And that's where the spirit, that's where the spark of tshuva comes in, when the Satan leaves us alone at the end of the day. The Shem Yishmuel says, Rosh Hashanah is the day that Yosef came out of jail, as we know. And therefore, because Yosef was released from his bondage, so too our neshama is more open on Rosh Hashanah. And similarly, on Yom Kippur, our neshama, the Satan, as we know, only works 364 days a year, not 365. He takes off Yom Kippur. And therefore the neshama contains the possibility to break free when we're not being held down anymore by Averos and things of that nature. So with this idea, the prosecuting angel comes before Hashem and he says, today this person created a koach hatshuva. Because he needs to be positive to get into Hashem. He's not going to start with negative stuff. He says, today, oh Hashem, today this person created a koach, a potential of tshuva. So Hashem says, oh tshuva you say? Well, if he has to do tshuva, that means there must have been an aveira that preceded it. Let me hear, what's going on? And therefore, that's how the kategor, that's how the prosecuting angel makes his way to Hashem, by highlighting the spark of tshuva, and that gets Hashem's attention, and then Hashem proceeds from there. Therefore, this is what the Navi says. Kol tisa avon v'kach tov. This is what Hosea says. Don't look at the aveir and said, look at and pretend you don't see what you know what the prosecuting angel is talking about. Focus on the possibility of tshuva Hashem. Even though they're an aveira Hashem, don't look at the aveira. Look at the spark of tshuva that's going to come after that aveira. And that's what it means when we say, hasovel uma'alim ein mesorim. Hashem is patient, and he looks away from the aveira and only focuses on the power of tshuva that will come after that aveira. A beautiful pshat from the Rebbe of Rupshitz in the Zohar Kodesh, but we see again, tshuva haba ba'aveira. Tshuva that comes through the process of an aveira. They're part and parcel, they're two sides of the same coin. The Magid of Mezrich quotes in the Magid of Rav Yaakov, which is the first collection of his writings, earlier known as Lakutei Amarim. So the Magid of Mezrich says that the Chet and the Tshuva are two sides of the same coin, as we pointed out. And he says, you can't have one without the other. And he says, honestly, if there's no Chet, then there's no Tshuva. Tshuva is this great thing, but you can't have tshuva without a chet. And he says, "Nimtza shehatshuva genuza besoch aveira." We find that tshuva is buried within every aveira. Therefore, you don't have to move so far to find tshuva, because right after every aveira is the potential to do tshuva right away. Every aveira contains with it the easy access to do tshuva, because it's in the same package. You don't have to travel me'ivra layam or into Shemayim to do tshuva. It's right there, embedded in the sins that we do right away. And he gives the mashal of olive and olive oil. We know that the Gemara in Horio says in Daf Yud Gimel that what's not good for memory? Can we remember? What's not good for memory? Olives are not good for memory, right? But what is good for memory? Olive oil. So how could that be? The same item. So he says the same idea. The outside, the negative part is bad, for it's shechacha, it leads you away from Hashem. But inside that very thing that is damaging to you contains potential and goodness that is not only parav, but good, and it enhances your memory. And tshuva is the same thing deep inside that aveira. I think, or I'm fairly confident, that this is an idea that Rav Kook brings out and fleshes out more in his Oros HaTshuva in Perek Vav in Os Beis. And Rav Kook writes as follows. Rav Kook's premise is that the world is created broken and lacking. The world's created lacking in many ways. Why? Because if the world's created broken and lacking, it means that there's room to grow and to develop. If the world was perfect, then there'd be no room to develop as a human being. So Rav Kook says, HaTshuva, the inner essence of tshuva that's inside a person that precedes everything else in the world, he tamid shiruya b'leiv. It is always inside of our heart, and you don't have to go and create yesh me'ayin tshuva. It's always there, waiting to be revealed. Afilu be'es hachet atzmo. Even at the moment of sin itself, when the person is sinning deep inside, there's the desire to do the right and the righteous thing. Hatshuva genuzahi b'neshama. Tshuva is hidden within the neshama. V'hi sholachas es kaveha. And this sends forth, and it allows the person to have the proper desires. Now, to be clear, a person sins because of the geshmak of the sin. That's why a person says, Rav Kook. That's what Rav Kook says. But a person doesn't know when they sin that doing the right thing is that much more geshmak, that much more delicious. And if the neshama had the experience of tshuva and positivity, they would not sin, because they would know it's much more delicious to come close to Hashem and do the right thing. Now, this is a very dangerous idea, potentially, because it smacks of Sabbateanism, that within the sin is positive things, is goodness, and tov and things like that, and therefore one has to be careful not to extend it too far. But Rav Kook is saying that obviously we should use the koach of goodness to do the right thing all the time. And if we do slip up, not if we do slip up, when we slip up, because we surely will slip up, when we do slip up, then we should know that there's a possibility to come back and to raise ourselves again and to come back to Hashem. And he continues and says, that after a person is in pain and he does tshuva, it reveals the true desires a person attains. And then he says, within the existence of life in reality, munachas ha-tshuva lays tshuva, b'pnei shehi kadma l'olam, because tshuva precedes the world. V'terem shebah ha-chet, kvar muchenes ha-tshuva mimenu. Before there was sin in the world, tshuva was already created as a building block to come close to Hashem. Tshuva is not a bidiyeved, says Rav Kook. It's a building block of a function of how to live life in this world. You're going to mess up. You can't stop it. That's the nature of gullus. You're going to mess up. And lichadchila, built in within that mess up, is tshuva. Tshuva is not a bidiyeved, is the point Rav Kook is making. Alkein ein davar batuach ba'olam kmo tshuva. There is nothing as certain in the world, says Rav Kook, as tshuva. It is the most certain thing in the world. Death, taxes, and tshuva. That should be the expression. V'sof hakol l'shuv l'tikun. Everything will eventually be fixed at the end of the day. V'kal v'chomer sh'yisrael muvtachem v'omdim la'asos tshuva l'skarei v'la'ratzon ha'makari shalem. And certainly the Jewish people will come back and do tshuva to come close to their ultimate source, that is Hashem. Where do we have the chutzpah to ask Hashem to ignore our aveira and to only look at the possible tshuva? That takes a lot of, you know, guts to tell Hashem, don't mind what's going on over there, just focus in on the good stuff. So the Divrei Chaim writes in Parshas Para that the Gemara in Sota says, Ein adam chote el im kein, nechnas abo, ruach shtus. A person only sins unless he's overcome by a sense of insanity. We know if you want to fix something, you have to give it the equal and opposite force. That's just Newtonian science. So therefore, says the Divrei Chaim, if you want to fix tshuva, you need the equal and opposite shtus to go back and fix it. You need to act like a crazy person. Tell Hashem, whatever I did before, ignore it. I know what I'm saying is nuts, but Hashem, focus on the positive. Look at the good stuff. Don't focus in on the negative stuff. And he says, therefore, and that's his pshat. They say the name of the Rebbe of Zusha. They would ask why Hashem should ignore the prosecuting angel. The Mekatrikim, the prosecutors, ask, why would you save the Jewish people without a zechus? And Hashem responds, because they blow the shofar, which is a chok, and without reason. And I mezaka them, I give them merit without reason, because they do something, they blow the shofar, that has no reason. There's no reason why the shofar should work. We're blowing into a ram's horn. Whereas my daughter told me the other day, a tati sheep. A ram's horn, okay? So we're blowing into the head of a tati sheep, of a ram's horn, and that should do something? It makes no sense. So says the Rebbe of Zusha, this is pshat in tiku b'chodo shofar. We blow in the month of the shofar. Ki chok l'Yisrael hu. It's a chok. It makes no sense at all why blowing the shofar should work. But nevertheless, mishpat l'Elokei Yaakov. But it works. it makes a judgment for Hashem, and that's why we blow the shofar. The Bnei Yisachar says this is the explanation of the piyut. Be'ein melitz yosher mu magid pesha tagad the Yaakov zachar choku mishpat b'tzakeid b'mishpat melcha mishpat. It's a chok. Hashem, you have to listen. You have to let us do tshuva because you said it works. Do I understand why tshuva works? No, it makes no sense. It shouldn't work. But Hashem, you said it works, and therefore it has to work at the end of the day. On Yom Kippur, we'll just conclude with this. We find the use of a lottery, a goral. We use a lottery to pick. Why is this mitzvah done with a lottery? So the Bnei Yisachar says that a lottery works without any rhyme or reason. There's no reason why every single time there's a $1 billion lottery, some housewife in New Hampshire gets it and I don't win. Why is it the same type of people every single time? There's no rhyme or reason why they should win the lottery. How come I don't win? Because it's a chok. That's just the way it works. There's no logic to the way the lottery comes out at the end of the day. There's no logic to why someone wins a lottery, says the Bnei Yisachar. And the idea is that we're doing something in this world that's a chok, and without reason. And Hashem responds in the Basin Shemala to forgive the Jewish people, even the face of the prosecutors who say it doesn't make sense. And that's the same idea. Tshuva works because it works. And that's what Rav Kook says, and that's what the Rav Shlomo Rebbe says. It works. Tshuva haba ba'aveira. And this is the way Hashem ordained the world. And we dive into Hashem over the course of the next few days in Yom Kippur to tell Hashem, Hashem, look at the potential of what we have. Look at what we can accomplish, not what we stumbled in and what we did not succeed in. And focus on the tshuva that can come from our mistakes and our past transgressions. We'll stop here.